I want to remind you, we are talking about the afterlife, started last week, and I went through some things that we need to know before we go into this subject, and I just want to rehearse a little bit of this, and that is something that is very hard for people to understand, but our world isn't the only world that there is in our universe. And everybody said wow on that one. You just had no idea, right? There are other planets. Yes, there are other planets, and God has purposes for all of them. And in fact, scientists would say right now, Jupiter is the garbage planet because it's so big, it has such powerful abilities to have gravitational pull on all kinds of big stuff that we don't want hitting us, that they think it's kind of a place where the planet Earth gets some protection from big bad stuff flying around out there in space. Amen. So God has a purpose for everything. And one of the things that we find out as we look at the Bible is we have lots and lots of information about heaven on lots of levels. So there is a heaven, we talked about this last week, there is a, what we call heavens is where the birds fly, okay? Well, that's obviously not where God lives, but that we call that heaven. Then we have the outer space that is a whole different thing than our atmosphere, and that is also called heaven. But then the heaven that we, in our context, would look at is where God lives. Amen? So heaven that we're going to talk about primarily is where God has his throne. When you have a throne someplace, it's probably your place to have. Amen? So God is trying to let us know that he is not El Cheapo. Amen? He isn't. Anybody that builds their walls with gems is not somebody that is low life. All right? Are you listening to me? Okay. So we need to know God loves certain things. He loves gems. He created all of those for a reason. He likes them. He likes to build with them. He uses gold to pave his streets. He likes gold. He likes walking on gold, apparently. Amen. And so God has all kinds of things that are in his personality and his tastes. He likes mountains. He lives on Mount Zion, the city of the living God. He likes the high place, and that's why the devil wants to take over all the high places that he possibly can. And in Colorado, that does happen, unfortunately. Amen. Thank God for our mountains, but the enemies always want to be the highest. And there's a whole sermon behind that, okay? So at any rate, I want to today just want to remind you, we're going to be talking about the heaven where God is, and I'm going to give you some descriptive things that the Bible has to say in John chapter 4. We're going to see two things in this section of Scripture. John chapter 4, if you got your Bible with you, you can read along with me. I'm in the New American Standard Version. John is up in, excuse me, Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. John chapter 4, nobody's going to heaven. They are drinking water from a well. Amen. That wasn't a mistake, by the way. I tried to deceive. No, I didn't. Yes. And someplace there is a chapter 4 in this book, and there it is. Okay. So here's what's happening. God is revealing heaven to the Apostle John in 90 AD, 90 years after the death of the Lord Jesus. He is on the Isle of Patmos. It's still over in the Mediterranean. You can go visit it. And he was a prisoner of the nation of Rome, and they didn't like guys that were preachers at that point. Their leader was interested in destroying them all. So he's out there on the prison, and the book of Revelation is all about what God showed him that was going to happen from the time that he was on the planet, that John's on the planet, all the way through to God not only, and people just don't really understand this, not only for God to bring Jesus to the earth and redeem us from sin that everybody was born with, amen, and still is until they get born again. So God has a plan for us, and he's going to show a lot of that to John, but it's so futuristic, John can't hardly figure out how to paint it for us to see. He needs Jeff Slemon's talent, amen, so that he can just put it together in paint form, in picture form. But John tries his best to let you know what God is showing him, but there's just no way for him to really have anything to measure it by, and we just kind of have to guess what he's talking about. But what we do know is this: we know exactly how he went to heaven. There are a number of different ways. If you read in your bulletin, I talked to you about some of the ways you can go to heaven, and there isn't just one way. Okay, there's only one way for you to get saved and go to heaven, okay? But there are many ways you can get to heaven as a Christian, okay? As a Christian, as a traveler after you leave your body. Does that help you? Okay, you can go to heaven several different ways. John went this way. After these things, he'd been talking to the angel. He's been talking to Jesus. After talking to them these things, I looked. So he just obviously looked up, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet, speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Now, if you're a guy on earth and you look up and see way out there, all of a sudden God gives you eyes to go all the way to heaven, and you see a door there, and God says, "Come up," you're going to have this question: how? Yeah. How? I see the door. How do I get there? Amen. So, let's find out what happened. He is waiting for the elevator to go up. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven and one sitting on the throne. So he said, here's what happened. He said, I came out of the natural world. I went into the spiritual world where God lives. And when I got into the spiritual world, the next thing I know, I was there. Somebody said, hallelujah. You don't like traveling, huh? Yeah. Yeah, amen. Powery's going, I want to get there fast, man. I don't want to mess around. So I mentioned a couple other ways that you're going to go to heaven. Amen. And one of them is out of Isaiah 35, I believe it is. He talks about a highway of holiness. And people walking on the highway of holiness into the glory of God. So there was a man in the 70s that died, had an ND, let's see, near-death experience, NDE, okay? So he had an NDE, according to science, that's what it is, when you die and then come back to life. This guy had a bad heart attack and left his body, went up to heaven, and God said, you have to go back to the earth, and I'm going to, on your way back, I'm going to go show you some things. So one of the things he showed him was this beautiful, beautiful corridor. And he said, you were inside, but you really weren't inside. And spiritual things are, we can't hardly describe them because they're in a different realm. But he said it was spectacularly landscaped. And he said everywhere we walked, and there was lots of people walking on it, and we all knew we were dead, but we were alive. Amen. And we had spiritual bodies, and we hardly knew whether we were in the body or out of the body, but we were walking, and we were understanding more and more as the closer that they got, but they saw a light at the end of this corridor, or tunnels, some people would call it, okay? And that's a common thing when you know about the testimonies of people that have died and been resuscitated, okay? So in this guy's case, he's watching all this, and the Lord's saying, I have a highway that brings people into my kingdom. Some people come that way. Other people just, man, you get out of your body and you immediately start going up, and you would say, well, what if I went to the wrong planet, dude? Amen. There is a gravitational pull. Now listen to this carefully. There is a gravitational pull from the two centers of the earth. One center is the center of God's kingdom, and the other is the center of Satan's kingdom. And when you leave your body, if you had given your heart for living for yourself or living for anything except God, then immediately you would feel a gravitational power pulling you down into the center of the earth. Okay? The further that you would go down in the center of the earth, the hotter it would get, until by the time you get down to the gates of hell, and they are real gates. The man that had the Bible school that we went to went there three times in one day. Okay, so he knew, and he said, there's no way you could describe those gates because there's nothing to compare with. But he said they were terrifying. And on the walls, by the time he saw the gates of hell, this was Kenneth Hagin, he said a being grabbed his arm and started ushering him through the gates that were opening up to him. And he said, I knew if I went through those gates, I would never get out. And at that point, a voice from heaven thundered eight syllables, and that demon let go of him. And then he began to have that magnet turn around. Instead of sucking him down into hell, it released him to go back up into earth. And he did that three times. And he was a kid that was in church his whole life. And as he was going down the third time, he said, God, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I read the Bible. And he said, I just kept going down, and I kept going down. And again, this is the third time. So then he went, God, I repent of my sin. I'm not going to live for me anymore. I'm going to live my life for you. Came right back up, told his grandma, Grandma, I'm here now, and I'm not going to die again. He said, as soon as I came up out of the hole that I went in to go into hell, as soon as I came out of it, he said, I'm telling you, it was like some big blanket just fell off me. He said, a weight just came off of me, and I knew I was saved. I knew I connected with God, and from that day until the day he died, he never, ever varied from his testimony of giving God everything that he had. Amen? Okay? So, you can walk to heaven, you can get caught up to heaven, or I'm going to tell you about a man that had just an unbelievable experience at the end of the 18th century. So last few years of the 1800s, and we don't know exactly, this man had an experience whereby three angels came down and said to him, you are summoned to the kingdom of God, and we are going to prepare your body for 40 days of going for you to go to heaven. So he went to heaven for 40 days, right? God took him there to tell the 20th century about heaven, okay? And he published a book had another man publish a book in 1902, and that book is still available at bookstores. I just got another copy. I've read this book many, many times in the past, but I always give it away. Somebody needs it more than I do. And so I look for it on Amazon, and it's right there for $11, folks. Amen. So if you want a copy, you can get it from Amazon, and it'll change your life. I'll be honest with you. It'll just blow your mind. So anyway, this man went, I think, the way probably a lot of people will go. He went the way that Elijah went to heaven, and that was in a, and all we can say is chariot, but it isn't a chariot, because when he describes it, it's not a chariot. It's more like a vehicle that we would think of. It wasn't a chariot with Ben-Hur, you know, whoa, my ponies are out here. Okay. Now, there were horses taken up Elijah, I believe. But the thing you need to know is God has newer models. I'm just trying to get you to connect a little differently, amen. Okay. So they can get lots of people in one chariot. So that tells you it's not a small thing. In fact, this particular guy, when he got to heaven in the chariot, he sprawled out on his face and started worshiping God as soon as the angel landed. Okay, and he said, I'm just telling you, as soon as we came into heaven's atmosphere, all I wanted to do was worship. Okay. So I'm going to take you on some steps here. So here's what happened when he got to heaven, landed in heaven. He said, heaven has big gates that you can't get through just on your own benefit. Okay. He said, you have got to go through they didn't use this word, but there's a protocol for all of us to go into heaven, okay? And one of those things was this: he was worshiping God in the chariot, and the angel that took him, two stayed with his body, and one drove him to heaven. And the angel that drove him said, as you worship, I'm going to go right over to the trees. And he said there were trees everywhere, and they all had 12 kinds of fruit. The Bible tells you that in the book of Revelation. It is the tree of life. Amen. And the tree of life is what feeds people in heaven. You get to eat, but it's fruit. Amen. And I know lots of people don't like fruit, but don't worry about it, because this is a different kind of eating entirely. Because when you don't have an earthly body anymore, what in the world is there for to be fed? What's being fed? Only thing you got, your spirit. Okay? So when you eat the fruit on the tree of life, every fruit has a specific flavor, which we like, don't we? Amen. We love the variety. And it has a specific grace to impart to you from God so that you can know Him better day after day after day after day. You will not go through a day without learning in heaven. Amen. It's a place of joy, and it's a place of ecstasy, and it is a place of abundance, and it's a place of absolute unbelievable wealth and prosperity. And nobody's sick, nor ever will be sick. Nobody cries or ever will cry, because God has done far beyond anything that you could write in a book 2,000 years ago. You can't even begin. God didn't want to give us everything so that we could go, I know everything about heaven. The guy, Seneca Sodi is the name of this man that's in the story, and he talked to Enoch. He talked to Abel, and he said to Abel, how long you been here? He said, I was the first one to ever be here. Everybody remember that? Cain killed Abel, who was his brother. He's the first guy that died. Abel's been in heaven all these years. And he said to Seneca, as Seneca said, man, you must have seen it all. He said, not even close. Not even close. He said, your inheritance is so far beyond anything you can imagine. Even I, who have been here all these years, I have not touched the fullness of it. Yeah. So the angel comes back, and Seneca's still worshiping. The angel comes back and says to him, you eat this fruit. He said, as soon as I ate that fruit, he said, strength just came right inside me. And the angel said, stand up now. We need to go to a certain place. So they did. Okay. Where they were is called paradise. It's also called Abraham's bosom. Bible calls it, Jesus himself called it Abraham's bosom. When Jesus was raised from the dead, everything changed in where mankind, where the dead went. Okay, when you were before Jesus, you were going underground. If you were righteous or unrighteous, the difference is the righteous were in a beautiful place and the unrighteous were in flames of hell. Okay? So there's two places. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible says he took captivity captive. So he took everybody that had died, that had faith in him, faith in his promises. He took all those people to heaven and transferred paradise into the heaven upstairs. Okay? And in the heaven upstairs, then, is where we all go first. You don't go anyplace else. Okay? We go to paradise. Isn't that awful? Amen? And so he started to try to describe meeting, and this is always what people are going to say. Well, I better not say always. But he said, as soon as I got up out of the chariot and I began to see people, I knew who they were. And we would kind of talk, but we didn't talk. We just knew what the other person was saying. The communication was such that they could use words, but they didn't need words. Isn't that odd? Okay. How many of you ever have just sensed somebody was going to call you on the phone, and they called you within a few minutes? How many of you have ever thought about somebody that you hadn't seen for a long time and just, bang, here they are? Okay? See, we have that in us to a small degree already because we have spiritual parts here. But when you get to heaven, man, they work like you've never seen them work before. Man, they are phenomenal. You have a phenomenal, really what it is, it's a gift of the Spirit called the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. You simply walk with God's knowledge. You walk with his wisdom, okay? And you and I just go, how do I know these guys? How do I know all this? It's because we are all connected. We are all connected as one body. So he said, as he was refreshing himself, Seneca said, as he was refreshing him, getting refreshed, he said, got up and started meeting people. And he said, I ran into people from other parts of the world, and it just seemed like I just knew them, and we were friends. And before I knew what was happening, we're just walking down the road together praising God. Okay? Just praising the Lord. Okay? Now, as they continued on, he said that one of the angels came to him and said, okay, now, the angel that drove him, said, now, I'm going to hand you off to somebody here. And a guy that had just a very different look to him than the angel did stepped up to him. Well, come to find out, it was Joshua, the Joshua, amen, of the Bible. And so Seneca said to him, he said, what makes you look so different? And he said, we who are the elders, there's 24 elders in heaven. Okay, those are 12 New Testament elders, 12 Old Testament elders, and they do specific things around the kingdom of God and in heaven. And one of the things that God believes in, everybody listen to this one, is he believes in greeters and ushers. Yeah? Hallelujah. Because Enoch was too to some degree, but here we have a man of God that's one of the only people, Joshua is one of the only people that finished his course. Okay? He got it done. Got it done, what he was supposed to do. Now, the people that he led in there didn't get it done, didn't all get it done. Some of them got their portion done, but most didn't, okay? But he did what he was supposed to do, and he did it without error. So here's this guy, and he said, those of us that are elders, and those of and there are others that from the earth gained this level of spiritual equipping. He said, we have our resurrection body on now. So that's the body that God's going to give everybody, even you and I in Greeley, Colorado. Amen? Everybody at the resurrection of the dead is going to get a brand new body. And all of us need to know, you need to know this, you need to tell your kids this, you need to, you see, if there's anything we mess up on is we don't tell people the right things as Christians. We should be talking to them about a God's heaven instead of how their marriage is doing. You want to know? Want to know why? Want to know why? Because you can go to the best in the United States, the best psychologists, the best psychiatrists. You can go to them and they can tell you exactly what you need to do to get your marriage right or get your thinking right or get yourself fixed. No matter what, they can tell you, but guess what they can't do? They cannot do what the Holy Ghost can do. And that is, he can change your desires. Yeah. He can change your desires. I was a golf bum. And it, I've never been a golf bum around you. You don't know what a real bum I was. And I ain't ever telling either. Amen. So I just need to let you know. You can't change yourself. You can improve yourself a little bit, but you cannot change yourself. Okay? When I got saved, I told the Lord, if you don't ever want me to play golf again, I won't do it. You're going to freak out when you find out what happened. I was on the golf course because I was taking care of the golf course. I was the superintendent of the golf course at the time. I'm standing there with a bucket of balls on the fourth hole, hitting them up to the green. Okay? I was using a 7-iron to hit that direction. Okay? It was up on a hill. I asked the Lord, do you want me to never play golf again? What do you think? I'll drop it right now. He never said anything. I took my 7-iron, and 150 yards later, I knocked it in the cup. I said, is that a yes? Or is that, there's your final hoorah? Swear to God, God is my witness. Knocked it in the cup. And if you want to know, that's hard to do. If you're a professional, that's a hard thing to do. Amen. So he's not gonna take things out of your life that are going to help you. He's gonna take things out of your life that are gonna hurt you. Now, I could have never gotten married if I would have still had a golf bum mentality. Never. My wife would have said, you want to go do what all the time? Leave me, Satan. Amen. Depart from me, you unclean spirit. And I took the road right there. So please understand, what we got coming is a body like you cannot imagine, because that body can fly. That body can think, I want to go here, and you're there. That body says, I want some of that fruit right now. I want some of that fruit right now. I want to drink some of the crystal water of life and pour that into us. All those things we're going to be able to do and have spiritual power pour into us so that we can become more and more and more and more and more like the guy on the throne. Look just like him. Have a heart just like him. Have a body just like Jesus has. So Joshua shows up and tells him, I'm looking a little different because I got this immortal, everlasting body. And you will have one too. Yeah. Everybody gets one. Everybody gets one. I'm not sure you're ready for this. Everybody in hell gets one to live in forever. Never be able to die. It's not good to be opposed to God because time is a whole different thing in his world. Time is, most people that die say the first thing you feel, the first thing you understand is time is just totally switched around. And time doesn't mean anything anymore like it used to. Now, your life and what you're doing seems timeless. People will say, I couldn't tell you. Seneca would tell you, I didn't know if I was laying in that chariot for hours, days, or years. I had no idea. It didn't occur to me to think about that. It didn't occur to me to look at my watch. It's been 15 minutes. I've been worshiping for 15 minutes. My gosh, what's going on with me? Yeah. So we just can't for the life of us understand this. But as soon as we step out of our bodies, we'll go, whoo, that's what Pastor Brian was talking about. I don't have to be any place tomorrow at any time. Hallelujah. I'm just going to go along with the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lordy Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. All right. So, he is on his way now. He's prepared himself enough with the fruit and with the water of life so that he can take, and I'll end with this one. He can go to the gate. And gosh, I'm trying to remember. I think it was the Judah gate that he went through. The Bible tells us clearly that there are four entrances into the grounds of the holy city. So here's what you need to think about, okay? We need to say, okay, if I'm going to the capital of Colorado and I'm here, I have a ways to go, don't I? Okay? I got a ways to go. But there's things I need to do on the way before I get there because when I get there, then I have a specific purpose to get fulfilled. Okay? So here they are. Here he is, Seneca's with Joshua. Joshua hands him off to Abraham. He said, Abraham gave me this big old hug, like most people do, and said, welcome to my paradise. Amen. He said, this is my bosom. And he said, I welcome you here. He said, everybody in heaven is like that. Everybody is welcoming. There's nobody that's a sourpuss. Amen. And the good news is, for all you sour pusses, amen. For the good news is, as soon as you get out of your body, you're going to not be a sour puss anymore. Amen. Yeah. And if you go to hell, you'll be nothing more, or you'll be nothing less than a sourpuss forever. Living with sourpusses and bullies. And you cannot even begin to fathom what the bullies in hell do. They tear people's bodies apart, hide the parts of the body, and laugh at you because those parts will eventually, just because you'll have the body to do it, they'll all come together and fit right back in your body, and you won't be able to die. It's torture beyond anything you can even imagine. Hollywood cannot even imagine it. Okay? Hell, Jesus tells us, hell was a place that he prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25. Not for man. Not for man. I'll say it over and over and over. It's not for man. Okay? So Abraham is taking Seneca to the gate. And there, as they're at the gate, the angel on the other side said, all right, everybody, I have the books open. And the way they do it, they categorize people, and it seemed like alphabetically. And in the book of life, at every gate going into the city of God, at every gate, you'll have a different part of the alphabet, and they look up your name. And your name has to be in that book. As soon as Jesus sees you and sees your name in the book, he confesses you before God. Amen. And you say, well, gosh, didn't he do that a lot? I got saved 93 years ago. Wouldn't he do it back then? Yep. But he does it then too. He confesses us before God. And then when you get ushered through that gate, my friend, you are home. Because you are now entering into the place where the mansions are. Seneca said this. I think it's appropriate. He said, you must understand that Jesus said to all of us, I go to prepare a place for you. And Jesus, remember, was in the construction business. Amen. And he knows exactly what you want to live in. But he also knows exactly what you like. And he can make it better than you can even comprehend. So you're going to live in a place that's 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles high. So some of you will want to live on the top floor, no doubt. And some are going to be wanting on the bottom floor, no doubt. Amen. But people that have been there will tell you there are elevators in heaven. The thing is, they don't have anything running them. They just go up and down by the power of the Holy Ghost. So you want to go up? Want to go down? No punching buttons. Nice, it is. Yeah, amen. So, you come out on the level your house is at. And you cannot, this is the wildest thing. It's all landscaped, it's all glorious. It's not apartments. It's beautiful houses and all the landscaping you would ever want in your house. And it's like it's like you're on the earth in only in the way that you're on land, and it's just like the housing developments that we have. You wouldn't know you're in a building. It's a building that's not a building. Okay. So, I'm ready. Don't know if you are, but I'm ready to check some of this stuff out. Amen. I'm ready to tell all of you this good news. Nothing is going to disappoint you when you get to heaven. When you get there, you're going to go, Lord, if you'd have just told me a little more, I'd have got saved a lot earlier in this. Wow, this is just crazy awesome. They have gold and silver goblets wherever there's the river of life. River of life goes all through heaven, just like any river does. Okay? There's creeks of it. And all around the place, because there's no germs, you have goblets and you drink from the water of life. Okay? Not plastic. Amen. Not even thermal. Gold and silver. Gemonies. Father, we thank you. What you have done for us is beyond anything we can imagine. And Lord, when we get there, we're going to say, how did Jesus ever know exactly what my heart's desires were? How did he know that? How did he know me that well? How could this even be possible? But it's not only possible, it is reality. Hallelujah. Reality of the highest form, because we'll be in the presence of the God who made it all. Shoo, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave you with this last thought. I'm going to tell you next week about a neurosurgeon, a brain doctor that went to heaven for 7 days. And some of his thoughts, God took him on a whole different kind of a trip because of the kind of a man he was. And I'm just going to drop out this little bit of information that will probably get your attention. God took him into a place that he could understand the mysteries of the ages, the mysteries of God's plans and purposes for the future. And don't get freaky on me on this. Don't get freaky on me. But God told him, he said, you think there's only one universe as a scientist. But I tell you, I have more universes than you can comprehend. Then God showed him that we will be able to access every one of those other universes. And they all are connected with God. Just like we are all connected with God. I'm telling you, you'll not be bored for 1 second in what God has planned for us. thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody that agreed said amen. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah.